8:55 Eastern Time, and Columbia and its affiliated stations bring you Elmer Davis and the news.
General Marshall and Admiral Stark, heads of the Army and Navy, will be heard tomorrow by the House Foreign Affairs Committee on the Lease Land Bill. This was announced this evening after the committee had heard testimony against the bill from Charles Lindbergh and General Hugh Johnson. Lindbergh said the bill would be one more step away from democracy, and that he believed American aid to Britain was a mistake and would prolong the war without bringing a British victory, which, in his opinion, could not be achieved even if the United States went into the war unless there was an internal collapse of Germany. He said he hoped that neither side would win the war, as the defeat of either one would mean economic prostration, and he wanted a negotiated peace, though he felt that America had already lost some of the influence it might have had on the negotiations. He added that he doesn't like many things that are going on in Germany, but believes that over a period of years, one side is as much at fault as the other. Testifying in the field in which he is an expert, Lindbergh said the transoceanic bombing of American cities was possible, but that while it could do considerable damage by peacetime standards, it would have a negligible effect on our military position. He believed the United States was in no danger of invasion so long as we had an army, a navy, and an air force of reasonable size. Reasonable in the case of the Air Force, meaning 10,000 first-line planes with reserves. General Johnson said he was in favor of helping the British insofar as it would contribute to the defense of the United States, but that he was opposed to this bill because it would tie us up too much to British policy. And he said that if we were not careful, we'd be in the war in anywhere from 1 to 3 months, perhaps on the west coast of Africa. Former Undersecretary of State William R. Castle will also testify against the bill before the House hearings close, which it is hoped will be Saturday night. Also in Washington, Defense Commissioner Leon Henderson warned the lumber industry that unless prices were reduced and deliveries speeded up, some of the government's powers of compulsion might have to be used. And the Senate Committee Investigating Campaign Expenditures reported that national and state party committees spent in the late election for the Democrats a little over $6 million and for the Republicans just under $15 million. This, however, does not include expenses of county and local committees or much of the money spent individually for advertising. And Senator Gillette, chairman of the investigating group, said that the total expenditures in the campaign might have run as high as $50 or $60 million. Overseas, the British report more than 20,000 prisoners taken at Tobruk, and they estimate Italian killed and wounded at only 2,000, while they say their own were not more than 500. Low as this figure seems, it is more or less corroborated by reports of correspondence with the army, as it is evident that there was little hard fighting. British motor patrols have now pushed as much as 100 miles to the westward of Tobruk, but it is still uncertain whether the advance of the army will be pushed much farther. In Albania, the Italians again attacked the Greek central column in great force, preceded by a bombardment by successive waves of planes. But the Greeks say they were thrown back, and Rome claims no more than that heavy losses were inflicted on the Greeks. The British Air Force bombed Berat in Albania and also Italian bases in the Dodecanesis and at several points in Sicily. In Northern Europe, too, the British have done most of the work in the last 24 hours. Last night they bombed Dusseldorf and surrounding towns in the Ruhr area, and today they attacked the French Channel ports. Meanwhile, London and most of England are having the fourth successive night with no raids at all, so far reported at any rate, although single German planes attacked a few points on the east coast today. In Romania, Premier Antonescu appears to have regained complete control of Bucharest and is broadcasting to the country that the rebellion has ended and everybody ought to go back to work. Reports from neighboring states, however, indicate that there is still disorder in the provinces. The settlement seems to have been due to an agreement between the Prime Minister and the Iron Guard leader Horia Sima, as a result of which Sima's faction will get a considerable share in the government, and the German news agency rather dryly reports that hereafter the government will consist of reliable and capable men. German newspapers are blaming the uprising on the British Secret Service, which had not heretofore been supposed to have much influence with the Romanian Iron Guard. But all the publicity in Romania itself throws the blame on radical and communist elements, which are said to have infiltrated even into this Romanian fascist group.
This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.